So, praise God. Y'all awake this morning? Amen. Second service should surely be awake, right? Right? Okay. Amen. So, we thank God that you're here today. We've been talking about how important it is to smile. And we took it from this very godly movie. I'm just joking. Elf. And remember, Elf says, smiling is my favorite. Remember when he says this? Smiling is my favorite. Well, it's really important that smiling be our favorite. And let me tell you what that really has to do about, what that's really about. It's not, I'm not talking about an outside demeanor. I'm talking about an inside in your heart. How many know what's inside will come outside? And so what we really have to do is we really have to change the inside in order that the outside would be fixed. So it's not enough just to say, hey, smiling needs to be your favorite. You know, it's not enough for me to say, hey, you need to smile more. You know what I mean? Whoa, wait. What it's important that we understand, go deeper and understand what's really going on in our hearts. And so the first week we talked about the reality is we think that as soon as we think, no, Pastor, I'm really a happy person. I'm really a happy person. That's why I'm happy. Well, why don't you look happy? Well, let me tell you why. I'm really happy, but the reason I don't look happy is because there's a situation going on in my life. And as soon as the situation is over, then I'll be happy. Well, how many know what that is a recipe for? That's a recipe for misery. And let me tell you why. Because as soon as that mess gets taken care of, how many know, come on, how many live longer than 8 years? You know what I mean? How many know, as long as that mess is over, what's going to happen? You don't have another mess. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that your life can't be filled with joy. I'm saying that what's the reality is Satan has set you up for misery because he's got you thinking that the reason why you're not happy is because this situation going on in your life. And here's what happens. With that mentality, you go from this situation to that situation to another situation, and you're always thinking, as soon as I get over this, I'm going to be happy. And what you end up doing is you just end up being like that dog that's chasing his tail. And how many know you're never going to catch it? See, it's a recipe for misery. And then last week, we spent some time talking, looking at Apostle Paul. Remember, Pastor Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's in jail. And yet when he's in jail, you don't hear anything about how it smells. You don't hear anything about the bad conditions. You don't hear anything about how awful his mates are. You don't hear anything about the food. All you hear is that he says, let me tell you what, I'm in jail, I'm in chains, but my chains are, there's a couple things that are cool that are happening. And let me tell you what's going on. There's people in the jail, and now I'm able to witness to them. And I'm being so effective that I'm even witnessing to some higher-ups that are probably going to get saved real soon because I'm witnessing to them. There's one more other thing happening that I want to let you know. There's these people outside that they're not in jail. And they're Christians and they're preachers, but they weren't very bold preachers. But now that I got in jail, they got some gumption. All of a sudden they said, hey, wait. Paul's in jail, and he's happy, and he's not, you know what I mean? How many know sometimes that comparison convicted them, and all of a sudden the Bible says that Paul noticed that there's word going out, and all these pastors, all these preachers that were kind of milquetoast, you know what I mean, kind of, you know what, now they're on fire. Now they got some preach in the preacher. Amen? And Paul's noticing, hey, this is a good thing. Here's my point. You don't know about anything bad that's going on. Can I tell you why? We looked at last week. Because he's not focused on that which is bad. He's so busy having a relationship with Jesus Christ that he's just happy. You know what? And we said it's so important to, in the middle, I mean, if I ask you right now, for many of you right now, there are situations in your life and they're not good. Here's what I'm saying to you. Draw close to him and Christ, God will draw close to you. And here's a beautiful thing. And then you can start tapping into the power of God to change the situation that you're in. Amen? But you'll never do that if you don't recognize. And we looked at why Paul was able to be so happy in his mess was because he was focused on Jesus Christ. Is this making sense? Okay, so we started here, then we got a little deeper. I'm just asking, can we go a little deeper still? Okay. So I want to talk to you today, you know what, about really changing the inside. And I really want to, and I said, Pastor, how do you know all this about me? Well, I don't, but the Holy Spirit shows us some things and prepares me to preach a message that can very well and very most likely be geared for exactly what you need. And here's what I want to tell you today. That there can very possibly, God will give us the combination to open the lock. And today I want to show you some things through the Word of God that are going to help you to open the lock, to open this, this key of, Pastor, why is there something going on? Well, let's go over a couple of scriptures real quick, and then I want to show you a short video, and I want to ask you about that video. But I first want us to look at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll read this in your daily Bible reading tomorrow. We're in Ephesians 3 right now. Tomorrow we're going to be in Ephesians 4. So we'll read this tomorrow. But I want you to look at this verse in this verse. In chapter 4, verse 30, says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Here, do you know you can bum God out? He loves you so much that you, in your actions and your attitude, could bum him out. So it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I'll give you another version. Don't bum God out. Which, it's saying that because you can. That's possible. By whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Next verse. Let all bitterness. Let's say that together. Let all bitterness. Now, let's break these words down. And you know these words. Let. What's let? Let is an indication that is up to you. It's your will. When the Bible says let, here's what God Bible's saying. Here's what God is saying to you. It's up to you. If it wasn't up to you, then it wouldn't say, let all bitterness, you know what, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. In other words, you can put away bitterness from you. You have that in your control. You have control to not be upset. Let all bitterness. Now, let's say that. Let all bitterness. Everybody say that. Let all bitterness. Now, notice what it says. Let, it's up to you, all. You know what all means? This is deep. All means all of it. Listen, in a room this size, with this many people in a room, I guarantee you, there's something, not like things like, yeah, when I was a kid, my brother, you know what, he got mad at me, and he pulled my hair. No, I'm not talking about that. How many know that probably happened, you know? But how many know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there are things in a room with this many people in this room, I guarantee you there's some pretty serious hurts going on in this room. There's people in this room and they've been hurt. And not only have they been hurt, but many times they've been hurt repeatedly. Listen, if you're married, you've been hurt repeatedly. I'm just saying. And there's other situations, and they're not little situations, okay? But here, why am I saying all that? Here's why. Because the Bible says, let all bitterness. You know what that means? That means all of it. That means God is saying, you can't hold this one grudge because it hurts so bad. You can't justify, but but pastor, he did this to me. But pastor, she did that to me. And listen, and I won't even speak some of the things that might have happened to some of you. What I'm saying is, when God says all, here's what he means all of it. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, speaking and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, that kind of covers it, does it not? You know what? Wrath, you know what I mean? Wrath, anger, clamor, you know what I mean? Malice. This is all the ugliness that comes out of hearts that have been broken. Hello. Hurt people. And in the body of Christ, God says, I don't want any of that happening anymore. See, my son has delivered you from all of that. Christ has gone to the cross, set you free. And if you're free, you're free indeed. So, stop it. Don't allow that to continue to infect your life. And the whole time, you're justifying and saying, no, pastor, but I deserve to be angry. But I deserve to be bitter. But because of what they did, hey, I love you, but I'm telling you what, you don't have that right. God doesn't give you that right. Amen? Watch this scripture. Turn to Hebrews. Chapter 12, have it right here on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace. Now let me talk about that. Everybody say pursue peace. Now what does that mean? That means everybody say pursue. See, people think, you're going to walk in joy and peace, and you're just going to be, oh, you know what? I'm just walking in joy and peace. How come? Oh, just because I am. Hey, how many got a backyard? How many just don't do anything in your backyard for like 2 years? Is that not true? You go into somebody's backyard, it's all pretty. You know, they got the roses here and the bushes there. And you're like, wow, this is a nice backyard. You know, you're so lucky. No, they're not lucky, amen? They work hard at it, amen? Listen, pursue peace. What's God telling you? Listen, you are not going to walk in this life of peace accidentally. You've got to pursue it. You've got to be tenacious. Amen? See, you want to receive the healing from God, you've got to be tenacious to receive God's healing. Remember the guys, they took their friend and he can't walk, and they take him to the house. There's everybody in the house, they can't get in. If you don't know the story, they put him, they don't go home. They're tenacious, they're pursuing health. So they put him up on the roof, they get him up on the roof, then they tear the roof apart. Say, yeah, but Pastor, roofs weren't like, you know, they're different now. Well, yeah, you tell that to that homeowner. You know what I mean? I know they're different, but I don't care if I was way back there. I still don't want you tearing apart my roof. Is that not right? Tear apart the roof. Why? Because imagine getting that guy up there. How do you get a guy up on the roof? You know what I mean? You don't know. They could have dropped him 4 times. You know what I mean? Bible said they dropped him 4 times. No, I said, I don't know, but they could have. Is that not right? But what? No matter what happened, they got him up on the roof. You know what? And then they lowered him down. Why? They're tenacious. We've got to pursue peace with how many people? Yeah, but Pastor, not my ex. Uh-uh. Not my ex, dude. No. That's, you know what? Listen, look at your Bible. You know, your Bible says the same thing with all people. There's no condition there. All, listen, well, you know what's all people? With all the jacked up people that have jacked you up. Some of them, I'm not making light, some of them have hurt you, and I empathize with you. All I'm telling you is, God says, you got to forgive them all. You got to pursue this peace with even people that you just want to strangle. Well, Pastor, you know, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? All people. and holiness without which no one can see the Lord. Wow, that's pretty intense. Okay, all I'm telling you is, guys, we got to make a decision. We're going to forgive people. Because here's what I'm saying, and I'll come to the end of my sermon, and then I'll preach it, and then I'll get to the end again. Because here's what I'm saying. If you don't forgive inside, you're not going to be happy outside. If you don't forgive inside, you're going to have this root of bitterness, the Bible says, and you're not going to be happy. Look at this next verse, 15. Looking carefully. No, Pastor, you're not talking to me. I'm fine. How many know, hey, today, maybe you're not fine. No, I am fine. Well, you look carefully. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. What's the grace of God? His supernatural power to do what you can't do. See, when you hold on to that bitterness, here's what happens. You let go of the power of God in your life. Oh, that was worth coming today. When you hold on to bitterness, you let go of the power of God in your life. Look, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. The grace of God is his supernatural power to do what you cannot do by yourself. And you're letting go of that to hold on to something that is going to cause you great harm. Look, lest the root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. That's the issue. There's a root of bitterness in your life, and it's causing trouble in your life. And it's causing misery in your life. And it's causing you to be angry in your life. And I'm not saying you're angry all the time. Just most of the time, your underlining demeanor is a demeanor of frustration. And the Bible is bringing out the connecting the dots to say, hey, guys, let me tell you why that's happening. It's happening because you didn't pursue peace, you let a seed of bitterness come in, this bitterness come in, and it's grabbed a hold of your heart. And from your heart, listen, it's going to flow all the issues of life. That's what the Bible says. That's why the Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence. See, not this casual. Listen, you cannot walk in peace casually. Smiling will not be your favorite if you're going to be casual about it. It's only for people who says, I tell you what, I do not want anything but God's best in my life. How many people like that? I only want God's best in my life. Well, if you want God's best, then you need to walk in forgiveness. And you got to let them all go. No. My house is mostly clean. You know, my drawers are mostly clean. How many have a drawer that's a mess? How many have a junk drawer? You know, how many have a junk room? Amen. I'm not going to say that. You know, yeah, it's called your garage. Amen. Right. Listen, we got no room for that. We cannot allow junk in our life. We've got to pursue peace. We've got to recognize this is making it. Because let me tell you what, your junk garage, your junk drawer will become your junk garage and become your junk bathroom and become your junk living room, become your junk dining room, because your junk house. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says a little leaven leavens a whole loaf. You got to get it out. You got to recognize what this is. This is causing harm in your life. You know, it's gonna spring up and it's going to cause problems. And yes, you can do the demeanor. Are you happy? I'm happy. I get that. I get that. We can all do that. You know what? Has ever something happened to you and something happened and you didn't filter your reaction? Because it was so viral. It was so, whoa. And then you recognize, I was like, ooh, that wasn't cool. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And somebody else saw your reaction? What's that? It's trouble. And there's seeds of bitterness in there. And it's springing up. And other people can see it, and you're trying to mask it. But you know what? Here's the word today. Stop masking it. Let's fix it. Amen? Let's not mask it. Let's fix it. Listen, in our lives, we make so many judgments on people, and the truth is we have no clue. But we act like we have a clue. We're like, let me tell you what, that was wrong. I know it was wrong. And listen, and maybe it was wrong. But you walk in their shoes and you see how you would act. You see how you would be treated. You see how you would, what you would do. Maybe for all you know, they are rocking it. But your judgment is to compare, and you have no idea where they're coming from. Is somebody getting the message today? You just don't know. But you're going to walk in an arrogant, you know, I don't know what I'm for them. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You have no idea where they came from. Amen. So here's what the Bible says. You want to know what the Bible says? You want to know what Jesus says about this? Here's what Jesus says about this. Here's, you know what? You know, how many times should we forgive? You know, Peter, seven times. Jesus says, no. Not seven times. Seven times, 70 times seven. What is Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. Put your calculator away. The Bible says love doesn't keep record of wrongs. Then Jesus says something else in Luke. He says this. He says, if somebody, and we're just like, I ain't going there, Pastor. Now you are across the line. That's craziness. I do not have to forgive somebody seven times in one day. That's craziness. You are making me walk in abuse. Okay, well, I didn't say it. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if somebody offends you and they go back to you seven times in one day, you need to forgive them. Now, I'm convinced, I don't know when we get to heaven, I believe, theologically, I believe that scripture in Luke is for everyone, but I believe certainly, it certainly applies to us who are married. I have asked Tamara, I've done something stupid for Tamara, just offended her. And at 10 o'clock in the morning said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. We talked it out. Oh, I didn't see it. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was so dumb. Only to do the very same thing less than an hour later. Now, man, just look at me. You're like, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And ladies, let me tell you what. And ladies, let me tell you this. And this is a true story. See, you know what? The truth is, many times, you've done the same thing. No, I haven't. I know I haven't. Because you know what? That's never happened to me. My husband has never told me that. Blah, 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 blah. Well, of course he hasn't told you that. He hadn't told. You know what? You're... Of course he hasn't told you that. There's all kinds of feelings and things going on around. Their husband hasn't told you. Because that's how he is. He's not expressive, responsive like you are. So you don't know. And you think because he doesn't tell you every little thing of how he feels, that he doesn't feel hurt. But he does. And he has learned that what you do is you man up and you just shove that into a box. You put it in a box and you shove it away. And you know what? And that's a great trait that he has. But you misinterpreted it and thought that you don't offend him because he's not as expressive as you are. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. You have offended him. And you've offended many times in just one day. This passage applies to men and women. This passage applies to everyone. And God's calling is, here's what I need you to do. I need you to forgive them. And here's what he says. Then he tells a story. Listen to the story. He tells a story about somebody who was who owes the king $10,000. Everybody say $10,000. And no, I'm sorry, not $10,000. $10 million. Everybody say $10 million. And these numbers are significant. This is just a story, but Jesus could have came with any numbers he wanted. He comes up with $10 million. This guy owes the king $10 million. The king finds him, throws him in jail. Before he goes in jail, the guy says, oh, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'll try to pay you back. I'll try to pay you back. How many know you're not going to pay somebody back $10 million? Well, I mean, most people aren't. The guy can't pay him back $10 million. He's like, oh, no, I'll try to do my best. Here's what the king says. The king says, you are forgiven. And he lets him go. The gentleman walks out, finds someone who owes him $10,000. Ever say $10,000? He takes him and puts him in jail and says, I'm not letting you out until you have paid me back my $10,000. Later on, the king finds out what he did, and he calls him back over here and says, come here, you're going back in jail. That's an interesting story, is it not? Here's the really interesting part, is after Jesus gets telling the story, what he says about the story. You want to see? Watch. Here's what he says. Guys, you don't know where I'm at, do you? I'm at Matthew 18:33. Look what he says, 33. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you? This is what the king is saying to the one guy. Next verse. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. That's very important. Listen to me. Some of you are living tortured lives. And here's why. Because you won't walk in forgiveness. And you're so in your pain that you won't let go. And here's the freaky part. Some of you, that happened 8 years ago, 12 years ago, 16 years ago, 2 months ago. But you're walking in this torturous position. And here's why, because you won't let it go. So Jesus says, this guy says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw you back in jail. I'm going to deliver you to the torturers until you pay the whole amount that was due. Why? Because here's what Jesus says. As you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. With the same measure that you measure it out, I'm not going to free. Okay, then here's what God says. Then there's going to be this torment in your life. And many of you, you're walking in torment. Listen, and Jesus Christ has taken care of this all. You could set them free. You could set yourself free. You could say, it doesn't make any difference what you've done. I forgive you. I'm going to talk about forgiveness in a minute, what it really means. Look what Jesus says to this. Next verse. So my heavenly Father, this is, wow, will also do to you. Now he's not telling a story. Now he's talking to us. Will do to you if each of you, you know what each of you means? You know what this means? It means whatever hurts you've gone through, you are not the exception. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care how bad it was. You are not the exception. You do not have, it's not okay in God's kingdom for him to forgive you of the millions of things that you've committed, but you won't forgive somebody else of the thousands of things that they've done wrong. He just doesn't see it. And can I tell you something? God help us when we start judging God. God help us when we become more righteous than God. God is righteous. His ways are right ways. That's when Eve got in trouble. She started judging God. God's trying to keep something from me. He's an evil. No. God is a good God. And his ways are always pure, the Bible says. So the Heavenly Father will also do to each of you, nobody's excluded, from his heart, each of you from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Can I tell you what? You've got to forgive from your heart. Because if you don't really forgive from your heart, then you have this outward appearance of, hey, what are you doing? It's all, everything's okay. But inwardly, that stuff comes out all the time. What's going on? Here's what's going on. You haven't forgiven people from your heart. Now, let me take some time to talk to you about what forgiveness means. Here's what the Greek word, it actually means. It means to get rid of. So somebody owes you $10,000. Somebody's done 10,000 wrong things to you. You forgive them. You get rid of it. Now watch this. if it's gone, it's gone. Is that not right? They owe you $10,000. Now they owe you what? Nothing. Everybody say nothing. 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 The debt is forgiven. They owe you nothing. But I want to get deeper than that because I want to talk to you about the other two things that heart forgiveness really is. Then you see them. How much do they owe you? Come on. How much do they owe you? Nothing. But you have this animosity towards them. Hello? You have this annoyance towards them because they owed you $10,000 and you forgave them. Can I tell you what? That's not forgiveness of the heart. No, they don't owe me any money, but I'm going to act irritated about them. No, no, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness of the heart is not only to forgive them, but is to not be have anxiety or anxiousness or annoyance towards them for what you forgave them for. Wave your hand if this is good preaching. Okay. Now, can I go deeper than that? So number one, they don't owe you anything. Number two, you don't act irritated because you're not. You know, oh, I forgave you, but I'm irritated because now my bank account is $10,000 less. That's not forgiveness. Okay, let's go deeper than this. Not only are you to not have anxiety towards them, watch this, but then what we do is then we put judgments on them, on their character, who they really are. And we don't see them, that we're not only irritated, but we judge them and their character. Watch this. For what they did. Somebody say what they did. Well, wait a minute. I thought you forgave them. Do you understand this? If you really forgave them, you're not irritated towards them, and you don't judge them because they didn't do anything. See, here's my point. Are you not happy because really you have bitterness in your heart? Because you've forgiven people on a superficial level. But the Bible doesn't say forgive them superficially. The Bible says that you need to forgive them from your heart. And if I really forgive you from your heart, then you come up to me and I'm like, dude, what's up? Let's go to the Laker game. Hello? How many want to go to a Laker game with someone who owed you $10,000, you know what, and didn't pay you back? What's that an indication of? Didn't we read the Bible said to examine what's really, be careful to find out what's really going on? Amen. Are you learning something? How many are still glad you came today? I'm just asking. Hey, let's judge our own paper. Can we judge our own paper today? How many want to judge your own paper? Amen. Okay. Now, let me tell you what. Here's what I'm asking. Do you have bitterness in your heart? Do you have someone that you're not forgiving? Okay. And I'm going to read a list. And when I read this list, you tell me if you're on it. Okay. But don't tell me. You just judge your own paper. Okay. You know what? So number one, revenge. Hello? No. Pastor, I haven't. I haven't done any revenge. Okay. All right. I'm just asking. Hate. Slander. Gossip. Sarcasm. Pastor, where'd you get that list? You came up with that list, didn't you? No. Didn't come up with this list. This list I got from Jimmy Evans. Jimmy Evans, in my mind, is probably the foremost excellent person to talk about marriage. He is outstanding. If you're married and you don't have Jimmy Evans on your podcast, get him on your podcast. He preaches short, just 20-minute sermons. You should be listening. Here, I'll be your doctor. You should be listening to 3 20-minute sermons of Jimmy Evans a week. It's his list. Sarcasm. Are you sarcastic when you argue with your wife or your husband? Okay. You know what that shows? It shows a seed of bitterness. Well, who says? Jimmy Evans said. Okay. Verbal abuse, name calling, labels, idiot, jerk, moron, witch, and others that I shall not speak. Thank you, Jesus. But these are indications of what's really gone. Why? From your heart, the mouth speaks, guys. That's what's going on. Your mouth is exposing what's really going on, the bitterness in your heart. I'm just saying, you judge your own paper. I'm not judging yours, okay? Divorce. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 19 that you divorce your wives because of the hardness in your heart. You could have forgiven her. You could have forgiven them. Yeah, but they did this over and over and over to me. Right, well, what are you going to do with the Luke scripture? Yeah, but my friend said. I know. We get in trouble when we listen to our friends instead of listening to Jesus. Amen? Well, I'm just going to find someone else. Oh, great. You know what I mean? How's that going to work for you? Amen? You think the grass is greener on the other side? Let me tell you what. And can I tell you what the main problem is? You. Amen? See, you just gone into, and you're just going to create another mess. And here's what we do. And we make all kinds of judgments, and we won't walk in forgiveness. And people who even treat us wrong, you know what? And you have no idea what's going on. It might not even be about you. I mean, you ever been around somebody, and they, you know what, explode an ant with an M80? You know, they could have just went squash. Instead, they get an M80. You know what I mean? Oh, I killed that ant. What's going on? What's going on? Something's going on. It could have nothing to do with anything, really. But someone else hurt them in the past. Amen. Whoa. Pastor, this is good. Yeah, it is. And then what we do is then they explode the ant with the M80, but we are the ant. You know what I mean? And you know what then we do? Then we judge them. That wasn't right. Well, yeah, but what would you do if you were in their shoes? And here's another note. You know what? And you can't change them anyway. Every time I go to God and say, God, man, just please, please, please. You know what? Oh, God, help her. God, you know. You know. God, you know. God's like, we'll talk about her like not. I want to talk about you. Talk about me. God, can't you see the halo over my head? He's like, I don't see it so much. Are you learning something? See, when we're making all these judgments, what we ought to do is just walk in forgiveness. What we ought to do is be compassionate. What we ought to do is recognize what's really going on in our hearts. Oftentimes, you know how many know we see something in somebody else, the same thing that's really going on in our hearts. Hello, somebody. So, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do? I so relate to what you're saying. And I recognize I'm not a happy person, really. What do I do? Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. I've got three suggestions for you. Number one, you know what? Think about the cross. Because when you think about the millions of sins that you've been forgiven for, it's really, really hard then to walk in judgment for that person who has sometimes sinned against you thousands of times. That's why the king was so upset. How in the world can you act like that when I've forgiven you of millions? And what I'm saying is, just think about how much Christ has done for you. It'll help you to mellow out and start recognizing. Okay. Number two, ooh, this is good. Recognize God loves them as much he does you. You know what? We live in a country full of racism and sexism, and you know what? I'm on this side and you're on that side, and this is my group and my group's better than your group. Really? Your group's better than my group? What's your group? Because what I've found is God makes individuals. Amen? And we're so close to grouping people. Well, we're like this. You know what? And I'm telling you what, there's no place for it in the body of Christ. I like what, thank you for that one. Amen. Thank you. I said, there's no place for it in the body of Christ. I like what Tony tells me. He says, I have a Mexican heart. Yeah. Who's got the Mexican taste buds, Tony? My wife, that's right, yeah. Amen. The point is, this stuff gets so crazy. Who's better? I'm just asking. Who's better? Or white people better? Or are black people better? Or Hispanics better? Or are Asians better? Or is somebody better? Are people who live in Hollywood, are they better? Or somebody who works on the farm in Nebraska, are they better? I'm talking about from God's eyes. Who is better? See how ridiculous it gets? Or my one of the issues that I really want to talk about today, who's better? Men or women? Don't shout me down when I start preaching good. Because let me tell you what. You know what? You know, like the correct answer is, no, we're all the same. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer. But ladies, can I talk to you for a minute? I know ladies, probably you're all excluded, but I know ladies who think that they're better. They really think that they're better. Men, can I talk to you for a minute? Like, we know we're nowhere better, right? And here's what I'm saying. We really think this. We really think this. I love Eckrich. And Eckrich says this. He wrote a great book called Love and Respect. And Eckrich says, ladies, don't be offended. Eckrich says that we live in a love-dominated society. And you think, and I'm talking to ladies, you think if everybody would just love the way you love, then all would be good in the world. Amen? Well, let me tell you what, ladies. Your husband has a lot of faults. But let me tell you what. He does not have a lady's brain. He has a man's brain. And can I tell you who made his brain a man? God did. And God didn't make a mistake. Yeah, I hear some amen, amen. And God didn't make a mistake. Amen. God didn't make a mistake. And listen, ladies, I know he's different than you. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of faults in him, because there are. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is God made him that way. And vice versa. And instead of us criticizing our spouses and criticizing, you know how much verbiage is out there, just male bashing that takes place in our society today? When it's craziness. Well, isn't there not female bashing? I'm sure there is. And is the one any more right than the other? No, it's all wrong.
Yeah.
It's all wrong. I love what Eckrich says. He says, you know what? He says, men think like blue and women think like pink. Amen? Yeah. And then he says this, not wrong, but different. But we don't judge it like that. We don't judge different. We're just like, she's crazy. And we can get around our guy friends and all come in agreement that they're crazy. No, they're not crazy. They just don't think like you think. And ladies, we can do the same thing. Get around our lady friends and all come in agreement. Oh, see, we all came in agreement. Our husbands are crazy. No, they're not crazy. They're just different. I love what Eckhart says. He says, blue is not wrong. Pink is not wrong. It's just different. Nobody, you can't say pink is wrong. It's a color. It's not wrong. It's different. And we're all different. But instead of making all kinds of judgments on people, you know what? Why can't we recognize God makes everyone different? And yeah, you know what? There's different personality types. You know what I mean? I mean, all right, I better stop. You guys are the ones who get me in trouble. That's the thing. There's all kinds of different personalities. But we judge people and judge them this way and that way. So, let's walk in forgiveness. I'll say one more thing and I'll close. We need to walk in forgiveness. We not only need to forgive, but we need to forget. The Bible says that, and let me just clue you in. If you have bitterness in your heart, many times, well, let me prove it to you. Has anybody seen a movie? Okay, anyone, any movie, and quote me a line in a movie. Go ahead. What? What's he say? I'm Drew? That's in a movie? I am Bruce. Root. Okay, I'm Root. Okay, I haven't seen that movie. Somebody else. What else, Tony? What?
The Lord may touch.
What?
The Lord may touch.
Oh, the Lord may touch. Okay. What else? What else? What? I'll be back. Okay, what else? What else? Wait, what? John? I'd rather stick needles in my eyes. Yes. Life is like a box of chocolates. What? What? What do you mean you eat no meats? Go, Adrian. Okay. Now, here, you said, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. Last but not least.
Run, Forrest, run.
Okay. So here's my question. How in the world do we know all this stuff? Here's my thought. Most of these movies, you guys have seen more than one time, have you not? Come on. You know, I know this because going home, I'll be taking my high schoolers home or something, and they'll start to talk about, and they will have a whole dialogue of Elf movie. They know it. They know the word. They know what's going to happen after. I tried to do it. I'm here with my dad. I'm singing a song. What? And I'm singing. I love you. What's the dad say? Weird. That's weird. That's weird. How do I know that? Because I've seen that over and over again. Here's what I'm saying. Listen to me. And there's a point to this. Can I tell you why you're so hurt? You're so hurt because you have rehearsed what they did to you over and over and over again. And the Bible says there's no place for that. That there is a place of God that you walk in His supernatural power, where you say, you know what, I'm not going to forgive you by my power. I'm going to forgive you by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. In Him we live and move and have our being. It's not my might nor my power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. We're to walk by His power. And when we walk by His power in His dependence, then you know what we do? We walk in His forgiveness. Because He's forgiving us. And so we just, and so that person who comes to us, and let me tell you what, there's a place in Jesus Christ where you can get over your hurts and get over your pains, and not just a superficial, you know, oh yeah, I got to smile, you know, I'm smiling at you. But no, I'm smiling at you, and I really forgive you. I don't judge you. There's no judgment. There's no hurt. You're really not hurt anymore. And you can do that, and I can do it. But we're never going to really smile. Smiling won't be our favorite till we decide that we're going to let it go and let these hurts go and just say, no, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Maybe how would I know how I would act if I had gone through the same thing that that person went through? Tamara?
All right. Can you pull up Pastor's scripture, the Hebrews one? I want the second part of the scripture that he had in Hebrews. Is it there? Okay, look at this. It says, and by, what's he talking about? He's talking about not walking in forgiveness, this bitterness that gets in us. And by this, many will be defiled. When we don't do what the Lord told us to do, when we don't walk in forgiveness, when we don't deal with our stuff, when we make it our stuff instead of giving it to Him and letting it be God's stuff, we defile ourselves. We've been talking over the last few weeks about joy and about gossiping and murmuring and complaining, the words, the things that we say. All these things are stuff that's coming from our heart, not walking in our peace. It hurts us. It robs us. I want to read you some scriptures, and a lot of these come back to talking about gossiping, but whatever's in your heart is going to come out. And so if we don't deal with stuff, we not only are walking in non-forgiveness, but we end up in all kinds of other junk that we don't belong in. Gossiping, murmuring, complaining, depression, sadness, all these things that we bring on ourselves. Why? Because we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. So this is in Philippians 2, 14 through 15. It says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Exodus 16:8, Moses said, since it will be God who gives you meat for your meal in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, it's God who will have listened to your complaints against him. Who are we in all of this? You haven't been complaining to us. You've been complaining to God. James 5:9, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. All of these manifestations are us holding on to stuff. You know, one of the things I found, there's serious things that happen, very, very hurtful things that happen to us. But we have to, what I've learned in walking, trying to walk out forgiveness and to get over those hurts, is that I ask myself, is whatever this is it worth my relationship with the Lord? And I haven't found anything that's a yes yet. See, if you understand that it's robbing you of that in your life, then it's much, much easier to give stuff to God. Here's another tip. This is a good tip. I literally give it to God. One of the reasons why it's bitterness, one of the reasons why we hang on to that, it is a vengeance that we want. You've hurt me, therefore, I will withhold this from you. Therefore, I'm going to hurt you. That's really what we're doing. It is vengeance that we're trying to take. But what does the Word of God tell us? Who does vengeance belong to? See, if we will give it to God, trust me. You know what? When I think about, did you hear that scripture? That the judge is standing at the door? See, we know God, Jesus is our friend. He's a friend of sinners, right? That song. And he's friends to those who obey him. And that he's our Savior. And that he loves us. See, we know all of this stuff. But he's also a judge. And our Bible's just as full of that as it is all the stuff that we know and embrace. And just because we don't embrace it doesn't mean that it's not true. It's still truth. It's still not going to change anything. Having not believed it doesn't mean that it's not true. We'll still give an account for it one day. And so we want to be sure that we give stuff to God. Because when I give stuff to God, it helps me because I know he is just. Yes, amen. And sooner or later, two things are going to happen. Either that's going to get reconciled out for that person. And by the way, that should be a concern of mine. When I think about things that have happened to me and people who have been the perpetrators of those things, here's a third tip. I quickly ask myself, okay, everything that's happened, all the hurt, all the trouble, all the pain, is it worth, okay, do I want so-and-so, you fill in the blank, to burn in hell for an eternity? And I haven't found the incident that I go, yep, you betcha. I haven't found that. Usually the people that are hurting us are people that we have a relationship with. They're people who are close to us. And so even the people who aren't close to me, when I do that, when I play that out, see, because that's reality, when I play that out, I still don't wish that upon even strangers and some of my worst enemies. And so when I know that that's not, I mean, when I play it to the end and that's not what they're deserving of, then it's really easy to just say, to put him in God's hands and say, Lord, you know all this and you saw everything. And so I'm giving this to you. And I'm giving her to you. And I pray for them. See, because now I can do exactly what the Word tells me to do, which is to pray for those who hurt me and use me. Right? And once I do that and I begin to say, you know what? God, help them. Like, I don't want to be them when it's time for them to stand in front of you. And I really don't want them to end up with that end result. So then I'm like, God, help them. I pray that you would, you know what, that they would come to know you in a greater way, that the Spirit of God would work in their life and that they would repent. See, now that's really easy. And I'm just telling you, that's empowering to go, man, God's got this. I don't know about you, but he's awesome in my eyes. And he's more than able. And so, listen, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And so sooner or later, either two things are going to happen. Either they're going to straighten it out and get right with God, which I'd like to be on that side of it pulling. You know what? Especially when I know I'm going to stand before God. Are we not to love others more than we love ourselves? You know why we won't let go of unforgiveness? We love ourselves more than we love them. And we want them to, we want that vengeance. So as soon as I know I'm going to stand before him, okay, well, and I'm not giving up everything I have with him for nothing. And when we give it to God, man, he is more than able to deal with it. And then we're just free. Because again, back to the word, we're not the ones who are supposed to be figuring this all out anyway. And when we begin to start to figure it all out, now what have we done? We've ripped ourselves off from the relationship that we have with God. And it gets sticky quick because then we're murmuring and we're arguing and we're complaining and we're all this gossiping and junk that God said, don't do it. Don't go there. Does that help you? I hope that helps you. I bet you there's none of us. If you're around people, if you live today, then somebody has hurt you. Intentional or unintentional. And so I just want to pray right now, because I bet you everyone in the room, that the Spirit of God is tapping you about something and just saying, hey, it's time to give that to me because it's hurting you. And it's hindering you if you don't give it to me. So I'm going to pray, and you just let the Holy Spirit do what he does. Amen? Yes. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that leads us and guides us into truth. I thank you for your Spirit that is with us. I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, that he is the one who convicts us. And I thank you that we're hearing your voice right now. We're hearing him, the things that he's tugging at us. And I pray that every person in this room will respond by giving this to you, Lord. And I thank you that as we walk it out each day, that we'll remind ourselves that no, we won't pick it back up. But we gave that to God. God has that. And God is going to take care of that situation one way or the other. None of my business. What's my business is that I stay right with my Lord. And so, Father, I thank you that you have given us truth and that truth sets us free. I thank you that many are going to be set free today from hurts that we've held on to, from offenses that have taken place. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. We just repent right now for all the things that come with this bitterness that we hold on to and this unforgiveness. I thank you, Father, the Spirit of God will minister to us on a constant basis from this day forward, that this message would be seared in our heart and that he will refer back to it often, that we understand what is at stake. What's at stake is our relationship with you and that which you want to do in our life and for us. Thank you, Father, for the clarity that you bring today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.